Armchair commanders, we call the shots. From our living room thrones, where the action's hot. We're the generals of fiction, the masters of war. In silver screen battles with buttered popcorn. Armchair commanders, armchair commanders.
And yes, I know he died.
One, two, three.
What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam.
Cause it's 5, 6, 7. Open up pearly gates. Oh,
I'm gonna. I should. We really need to update that for Iran.
It's a timeless song that can be adjusted to any conflict, really.
It fit Afghanistan really well because Vietnam, Afghanistan,
Iran.
Just hope and pray that they drop the bomb. They drop it on the Taliban,
North Korea.
Okay, that one's stretching it.
Oh, shut up. Welcome to the Armchair Commanders podcast. My name is John.
And I'm Jack.
And this week, we are reviewing... God damn it.
How'd that go?
Perfect. Fuck you, that's...
We're reviewing God Damn It by Francis Ford Coppola.
Reviewing fucking Heart of Darkness... Vietnam Redux 40K
in HD.
My wife is telling me I'm balding. Now my hand is covered in beer. I'm just having a great day.
I can see that.
Apocalypse Now. That was a heck of an intro we had there. We originally were doing this because Robert Duvall passed not too recently.
Surfing accident, right?
Yes, surfing accident.
Sorry, that was poor taste. The ripe
old age of like 95, right? Probably has like he is not even a main character in this film. And he probably has the best dialogue and, like, the best scenes in this fucking movie.
Right.
Well, that's been Apocalypse Now. We'll see you next week.
But like a friend said, what was I going to... Oh, yeah. I was watching with a buddy a while back, and he was like, I forgot how much of this movie is plot is driven by a desire to surf. Because that's the whole reason they go to that VC controlled area.
Yeah, there's too much surf talk. The Beach Boys might disagree with me, but, this is not Surfing USA. Also, how would anybody recognize a professional surfer in the middle of Vietnam?
He likes two things, chaos and surfing.
Because, yes,
He's trying to branch out the International Surfing Society to Vietnam. Isn't that kind of him?
Well, when Ho Chi Minh City hosts the Olympics, we'll know what gold they're bringing home.
Yep. Yeah, this So, as I mentioned last review... This is one of the four times I've been tricked into seeing Heart of Darkness.
I didn't even mean it the last time.
Well, three movies, I think. But actually, no, it was four movies. Five, if you count the game. What the hell was that called? Spec Ops The Line.
Never played Spec Ops.
You should. Man, what a game. And
man, what a great audience.
Heart of Darkness is just so applicable to so many settings and whatnot.
Do you know that I have neither seen nor read Heart of Darkness? So every time you say Heart of Darkness, I don't know shit. I've just been playing it cool this whole time.
Oh, damn it. I was going to buy you Spec Ops The Line, but it's no longer on the Steam store.
That's okay. You think I have time to play video games?
Yes.
I am a hardworking father of a toddler who loves ice cream. Not a toddler, infant. Well,
shit, so do I.
You have an infant that loves ice cream?
No, I love ice cream as well. Fuck, now I want some.
I'm going to get ice cream after this.
I'm going to use DoorDash for the third time today.
Hell yeah.
Piece of fucking shit.
So, have you seen this film before?
Yes, I have. Years back.
This is actually my first watching. I've seen the clips and like I'm familiar with all the pop culture references. So like when I was watching this and I saw something happen, I'm like, ooh, I know that joke.
it's
hilarious just so, the movie is. But
it's like this cultural osmosis where we just know the Charlie Don't Surf, and I love the smell of a
big pop in the morning.
Smells
like victory.
Coincidentally, both lines by Robert Duvall.
Honestly, if Robert Duvall was in this movie, I don't think I could honestly have put up with it.
Like, yeah, he really plays the bloodthirsty Army Air Cav sergeant, or what is the ranking that he has?
He was like a colonel or something.
Yeah.
Colonel Kilgore.
Really on the nose, that one.
Plus, he's also involved in the, you know, very infamous Ride of the Valkyrie scene.
Mm-hmm. Scares the shit out of him.
So I kind of have beef with this film. I don't know if I actually have beef. Like I said, the only thing that I made this film worth it for me was Robert Duvall. Which is a shame, because there's a lot of great actors and acting in this film. Like, Martin Sheen, terrific actor and acting. You know, Harrison Ford has a little bit part in this. We have very early career Lawrence Fishburne in this as well. Fucking Marlon Brando, because apparently Francis Ford Coppola can't do a fucking film without him.
Nobody can do a film without him.
I just remembered a really inappropriate joke that has nothing to do with this, but now I have to.
Now you gotta.
Do you enjoy NAMBLA? What? Yeah, the North American Marlon Brando Lookalike Association.
Dr. Mephisto from South Park.
These assholes keep ruining our good name.
Behold, the four-assed monkey.
No, thank you. I'm not into midgets.
I was surprised when I was a kid when I watched that episode for the first time, and then I found out that's a real organization. The North American Man-Boy Love Alliance.
I was really dumb as a kid because I didn't understand it. Because when I watched the NAMBLA episode, I was a kid. I was like 7 or 8. So, you know, I wasn't exactly caught up on the its actual connotations. I'm like, what's wrong with Mr. Garrison wanting to hang out with some kids? Then, like, 10 years later, I'm like, oh, that's bad.
Oh, yes,
John's a little slow on the uptake sometimes.
Great episode, though. Great episode.
So this is one of the earlier Vietnam War movies. Full Metal Jacket and Deer Hunter precede this film. Platoon comes after.
Yep.
But so it's not, I wouldn't say it's necessarily like a trendsetter. I think that's where my beef kind of comes in with this film, is that I think Francis Ford Coppola saw Full Metal Jacket, saw The Deer Hunter, and was like, I also need to make a Vietnam War movie, and was essentially following the template of those two movies, which is very over-the-top anti-war, like, they're not meant to be realistic, and I think that's where this one kind of comes off, because they put a lot of effort into making it look realistic, like, oh, this, like, uniforms and all that stuff, but we still get all the hippie tropes and the, like, you know, soldiers dropping acid in the middle of firefight, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like our main antagonist that Marchina sent after is like this raging, like, war crime committer type deal. And like the people who are sent to go take him out essentially are like only one step below him as far as like the moral scale goes. So I think that's what I don't want to say he was copying those other two films. I think he saw those other two films and was like, well, this is how we're doing Vietnam. And then he just did his version.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of hard not to. Having seen those movies and then making your own Vietnam movie.
I don't know. It just seems, which is kind of a shame, because like we have seen Vietnam War movies that are historically accurate, and I know that that's not the goal of this film. Like, it's not based on anything. It's just a story that occurs within the parameters of the Vietnam War. But like, when we see We Were Soldiers, like, that's an amazing, like, it has its own issues, but it's an amazing film that is historically accurate. You know, greatest beer run ever. Toes the line of accuracy, but still does an immensely great job of, I think it's perfectly you can be perfectly capable of doing an anti-war film in the Vietnam setting without it being this like over the top kind of artsy piece. Because what I got out of this was just like, it's The Godfather, but Vietnam. It's just so fucking slow and boring, and oh my god, I fucking hate this movie. I'm sorry.
You don't like Apocalypse Now?
No, I don't. I don't get the hype. And in fact,
I love this movie.
Well, fuck you. I would even go so far as to say, if the movie is like, because critically speaking, like, you look at like top 10 war movies or top 25 war movies or top 10 movies of all time, like, this is a film that will be on that fucking list, and like everybody talks about it as this like fucking amazing piece of art and all that, and like I recognize the artistic value to it. I recognize its place within pop culture and the way that it's affected it. I just don't like it. And I don't know. There's just so many better ways of having been able to do this.
First off, what would you have done differently?
More Robert Duvall. In fact, I want a movie of just Robert Duvall.
Would you rather he be the one going after Kurtz, or would you rather him be Kurtz?
I would rather Robert Duvall's character, Kilgore, have been Kurtz. Because, okay, we're told that Kurtz is this evil dude. Okay, fine. Martin Sheen, you gotta go take him out. Okay, cool. Premise. Then we're going to have our little adventure down the river in our boat. And then we come across Kilgore, Robert Duvall's character, and he's like, I fucking love napalm. Over the top, like, I love war, and he's not our villain, and it's like, what?
And he's just a villain.
Yeah, he's just a villain that occurs in Vietnam, but he's not the villain. And like the villain is just, he has half his face in darkness. Because fun fact, Marlon Brando, did like zero prep work for this movie, and he showed up to shooting like 50 pounds overweight, which is why they went with the shadowy darkness like monologue for his scene. I
did hear that.
So our main villain, we basically get a James Bond villain who does his big monologue of like his philosophy on war and why he commits war crimes. But we never actually see him commit any of these atrocities, really.
I mean, he fucking beheads that one guy and gouges his eyes out.
Oh, whoop-de-doo, who hasn't beheaded somebody?
You're right, it's the cornerstone of growing up.
I just, for it being this, like, supposed to be this great piece of art, why is there 20 different versions of it? Because if you go to Wikipedia and you look up, like, there's Apocalypse Now, Apocalypse Now Redux, Apocalypse Now 40th Anniversary, Apocalypse Now Director's Cut, all these, like, there's an unending number of cuts of this movie, and all that shows me is that they shot an inordinate amount of scenes for this film, and they still can't find a truly cohesive way of showing it. Because if it was so perfect, they wouldn't have to go back and fucking alter it every 5 years and re-release it.
But it's a classic, John.
Okay. Release it on DVD with a new cover art, but we don't need to change the movie. That's not what's happening, though. Every 5 to 10 years, there's a new fucking version of this goddamn movie because they're like, ooh, what if we actually did this scene instead? And nothing fucking changes, actually. Like, the story doesn't change. Like, there's no impact to it. It's just like, ooh, look at this other gratuitous scene of violence that we could have shown you back in the 80s. Like, go fuck yourself. If you did something right, release it. Don't touch it. I don't remember Stanley Kubrick like going back and doing 2001 A Space Odyssey Redux 20K.
Also, did you recognize Lawrence Fishburne in this role?
Yes, I did. I loved him completely annihilating a little fishing boat with his machine gun.
But fun fact, he lied about his age to be a part of this movie. He was 14 when the filming started, but since this movie was stuck in development hell, he was 18 when the film released. So that's why he looks a little younger.
He looks like a 17-year-old kid who's not 17. Do you think Marlon Brando talked to Lawrence Fishburne about NAMBLA?
No. Not at all. I don't think he did.
So I did my little rant where I was like, I don't like this film. You said this is one of your favorites. So let's hear your diatribe to oppose me.
I mean, I didn't think it was boring at all. You know, we went from point A to point B to point C to point D all along the Mekong River.
Are you ready for the summer?
Like in Heart of Darkness, it gets more and more, I don't want to say unhinged or wild, but less and less in control and more savage. Fuck, I don't want to use that word either. That sounds racist. But
the horror, where I'm
coming from, the horror.
What's that?
Whatever. But it gets more and more crazy, psychological, the further they go along the river. Like in Heart of Darkness, it starts off at a clean and organized military base. Then we get sidetracked on a surfing side quest. Back to business as usual. We stop that sampan, kill them for no reason, because it turns out it's just a little puppy they were guarding. Boat has a new mascot.
We're going to call you Massacre.
Oh, yeah, and then there's that other military base, the Playboy models, that gets out of hand. Then it's the Dulong Bridge, where it's just fucking chaos. Like, people shooting willy-nilly, people trying to abandon posts. Nobody's really sure what's going on. No one's really sure who's in charge. All they know is build the bridge, defend it, and kill. And hell, sometimes...
Also apparently a post office at the bridge.
Yep.
That's the only place we have fucking mail in this entire movie.
And then, like the sailor in the original book, he begins to get more and more obsessed with his target. And he finds himself going more, relating more and more to Colonel Kurtz, the more insane he goes.
Classic.
And then, boom, turns out that Colonel Kurtz established a cult of personality deep in the jungles of Cambodia with his band of Montagnards and Cambodian peasants he's been training.
This almost sounds like Vietnamese Moby Dick. It's just a story of obsession.
Kind of. I don't remember what came first, but I think Moby Dick, whatever. Anyway.
I guarantee Moby Dick came before, because Heart of Darkness was like 1899. You ever type in an entire book title and nothing happens?
Hate that.
Yeah. Moby Dick predates Heart of Darkness by 40 years.
I can kind of see the similarities. Like, you know, a singular object of obsession.
And then I realized I was the napalm.
This is the end. But man, that intro, where it's just that the napalm dropping on the jungle and Martin Sheen drunk as hell in a hotel in Saigon that he breaks shit in. And he actually cut his hand for real during that scene, but he demanded the cameraman keep rolling no matter what.
For his art.
yeah, to get into character. It's what his character would want. He smears the blood all over his face.
And then he would go on to be president.
Mm-hmm.
Of the West Wing.
Also the CEO of a mega corporation in space. The elusive man from Mass Effect is voiced by Martin Sheen. Let me see if I can find this on YouTube.
And to think, there was not a single Country Joe and the Fish song in this film.
Well, yeah, that was at Woodstock.
Yeah, Woodstock happened prior to... this film.
Yeah, the full audiobook's online. Or on YouTube, yeah. For only 4 hours.
But Jack, you know I can't listen.
Yeah, it's right, you're deaf. Of course, how could I forget?
That's correct.
Huh?
What?
What?
What? Can we talk about the fact that nobody got mad at that asshole for popping smoke grenades on their boat until after they got shot at?
Well, yeah, he's just screwing around. Let him have his fun. I was wondering that too. Like, I would be chewing his ass because that gives away their position.
Also, how did he not burn the shit out of his hands?
He was high as hell.
Okay.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. I've never done acid on a patrol boat in the Mekong Delta, so
you haven't lived then.
Maybe that can be our next Armchair Commander's trip.
Yeah, there's a really good episode of Top Gear where they take those PT boats along the Mekong River. Fantastic episode.
I wonder how many of those got left behind.
A lot.
I kind of want to be like a Vietnam patrol boat now.
I don't think very many, if any, are still active today because they couldn't exactly maintain them easily.
What do you mean they couldn't be maintained easily? That's quality American engineering right there.
That they, who had a trade embargo against them after the war.
Nah, details.
And you can't really get it secondhand from China either, because they started a war right after us. Went about as well as you'd expect.
Was it a war or was it a war?
War.
War were declared.
War were declared. And the neurotic American journalist that they meet at Colonel Kurtz's compound.
It's all bullshit. Man. That's the other thing that pissed me off. Like, such a fucking, like, I'm sure it seemed like an awesome idea back then, but it was like such a trope now. It's like, man, it's all bullshit. Like, you don't even get how evil this is, man. It's like, shut up. You see, I'm in a very, great mood.
Yes, clearly. But, and then you have to understand that Colonel Kurtz was fighting an absolute war on his terms, not being held back by government bureaucracy and military bullshit. Like, he was there to kill the enemy. And if I recall correct me if I'm wrong, it was because early on in the war, he was giving out vaccines to children in the village.
Yeah, and then the VC was cutting off their arms.
Yeah, because they were against inoculation or gifts from American imperialists. And that's what caused him to realize that the war can't be won on the U.S.'s terms, so he's going to have to take it into his own hands.
You know, I didn't really think much against the VC, but now that I hear that they're anti-vaxxers...
Oh, yeah.
Napalm makes a lot more sense.
They did that and much worse, too.
War.
Yeah, war's hell, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. The horror.
So yeah, that's where the Boomhauer quote's from.
Yeah. I've heard that quote in King of the Hill so many times, and I've always found it hilarious, but I never knew where it came from.
So what'd you feel? It was like, oh, that's where it's from.
Dang old. The horror.
Yeah. All right, let me see. I just got to check on something here. Oh, yeah. Do you know who narrated this? And no, it wasn't Martin Sheen.
No. It's kind of weird that they wouldn't have Martin Sheen narrate the story.
You're coming in quiet. Say that again.
I said it's weird that they wouldn't have Martin Sheen narrate the story.
Not weird at all, because the person that narrated it is named Michael Hare. Does that sound familiar?
No.
So I read his book about a year and a half ago called Dispatches. And it's about, and he was a journalist during the Vietnam War and wrote that book. And that book inspired this movie, Full Metal Jacket, that other one that I can't think of right now.
Deer Hunter?
I think Platoon. Some of his works came in, bled into Platoon and Deer Hunter. But no, like every Vietnam trope and most of the cliches come from that book, including the line in Full Metal Jacket, "How can you shoot women and children? Easy, don't lead them so much." That was from an actual interview he had with chopper gunner as he was going to a different location, and the chopper gunner is taking shots at farmers.
How do you know they're VC?
Anyone who moves is a VC. Anyone who doesn't move is a well-trained VC.
I'm going to have to get Full Metal Jacket on the docket here one of these days.
But he provided narration to this movie. And I would recommend you read Dispatches. Good shit in it. Dark stuff, too. And Michael Hare died on June 23rd, 2016. And last years of his life, he became a Buddhist. But yeah, he wrote a lot of articles, covered the Vietnam War extensively. In fact,
so I'm guessing you've read his works then.
I've read Dispatches. And his book was called, and I quote, "the best book to have been written about the Vietnam War."
If I don't say so myself, toot my own horn.
He didn't say that about himself. That was the critics.
Oh. That sounds like something I would do. I wrote the best book ever. But John, you haven't written a book. Shut up.
John, you can't read.
You don't need to be able to read to write.
You get credit for trying.
So what was your favorite aspect of this film?
The atmosphere. It really does paint a good picture of the psychological stress of war. And you really get into the headspace of not only Kurtz, but the main character Martin Sheen plays. Can't friggin' remember his name. Yeah, Michael Hare worked on this movie in Full Metal Jacket. Benjamin Willard, that's it. Willard. I knew that.
You know, if we ever do Full Metal Jacket, I can confidently tell you that I do enjoy that film.
Well, read the book then, damn it.
What's a book?
See, it's like this sandwich of paper and words that you're not supposed to eat, you're supposed to look at.
Oh.
Hallucinate.
Sounds kind of lame.
So what are you drinking this evening?
What was your least favorite aspect of this film?
The Playboy scene seemed pointless. I don't really remember what the point of that was. I guess to establish that they're going into depraved territory and just how bad the situation is, I guess. But that led us to that memorable quote where Charlie doesn't get much USO. He's either dug in too deep or moving too fast. His version of comfort is some stale rice and some cold rat meat. Charlie knows he only has two ways home, victory or death.
I'm having a terrific day.
I can hear that. What's up?
So my computer went to, because my camera fucking shut down, my computer is now doing this thing where it's like, oh, well, nothing's happening. So after a couple minutes, it like goes to its like sleep settings. So it went to go move my computer mouse to make sure that our shit didn't shut down. And I spilled my beer all over my mouse and my mouse pad.
Damn.
So that's fun and fresh. So yeah, fuck this movie. Except for Robert Duvall.
He was the only saving grace in this.
For me, anyway. Yeah. Yep.
You didn't like a single other part of this movie.
I enjoyed seeing the moments where it's like I got to pick up on pop culture references that I've been seeing my whole life. So that was enjoyable to me, but I couldn't get into this movie. I'm sorry.
But as I tried to bring up earlier, what are you drinking this evening?
Well, I was attempting to drink some Yingling traditional lager. Yingling,
I think. How is it? Was it?
Well, the little bit I had between the quarter of a beer that spilled on my floor when I opened the fucking thing and the other quarter that I spilled on my mouse, it was all right. What are you drinking?
Well, tonight, for my libation, I've picked a beer when I was at the liquor store earlier called Sugging On Chili Dogs, a Vienna lager from Drecker.
That sounds ew.
It's not sausage flavored or chili flavored or anything. It's literally just a Vienna lager, which, not bad.
They made a regular Vienna lager and just gave it a really gross name.
Apparently. It's not beer from Log Cabin, nor is it Rolling Rock, but...
I mean, it's no suck on my dick cheese ale, but...
My God, somebody needs to put a stop to these millennial microbreweries. Menaces.
It was aged in a dark cellar for 3 days prior to serving. It was made to look at 4chan the entire time. Where did the beer get eyeballs, you ask? Fuck you, that's where. But I think it's about time we rated this thing.
It really sounds like you're over this film already. So
I'm sorry. I wish I could be more vested in this. Unless you have more points you would like to go over.
All right, let's see, because I have the TV tropes pulled up for the trivia. So Arlie Ermey is cast as a helicopter pilot while working as the military advisor for this film, and he himself was a Vietnam veteran.
My scoutmaster used to be a drill instructor with Arlie Ermey.
How was that?
My childhood was fine. Let's move on.
Francis Ford Coppola and Martin Sheen named this is one of their favorite films of their own. Martin Sheen couldn't swim and was terrified filming scenes with him on the boat.
Speaking of swimming, who the fuck decided to do the water burial for the boat captain? Like, send my body home, motherfuckers. That was a normal thing in Vietnam. Like, what the fuck?
I don't know. It didn't look like they ever had blood.
I don't want to become catfish food.
You got to do what you got to do, man. They weren't about to turn around. And I'm sure Martin Sheen's character is like, oh, we got to keep going. We got to keep going. Just fucking get over this already.
Also, why are we doing this film by patrol boat? They have helicopters. He could have got there in a day.
That would get shot down.
Parachutes. He's special forces.
Wow, all the more reason to use a boat, I suppose.
Use the helicopter infill, like 5 or 6 miles away from the camp. I don't know.
It's easier to sneak a boat into Cambodia than it is to fly into forbidden airspace.
Tell that to the CIA.
Yeah. That's the CIA, though. Fuck them. Martin Sheen really was drunk in the hotel scene, so everything he does is off script, including punching the mirror and cutting his hand.
I love that scene inspired a scene. Like, is Major Payne a war movie? Like, I know it's a parody film.
In fact, I think we've been over this. I've never actually seen Major Payne.
Oh, you've never seen Major Payne?
Nope. But Marlon Brando ad-libbed the line, "You're just an errand boy sent by the grocery store clerks to get the bill."
How profound.
The production and making of this movie was so hell that it spawned its own documentary, Hearts of Darkness, A Filmmaker's Apocalypse, just to list it all.
See, it wasn't worth it. All this heartache for a mediocre film.
It's well loved, John.
Sure.
All right. I'm going to wrap that up for trivia. Anything else you got to say about this movie? What was your favorite part aside from the Robert Duvall?
Not all at once now.
Yeah, I know, right?
I don't know. I was kind of expecting a Wilhelm scream when those two dudes fell off the bridge, and there wasn't one, and I was pleasantly surprised. But I also enjoyed that. I thought it was quite comical. It was kind of absurd.
wasn't absurd to them. They died.
Well, not in real life.
You know what I meant, you little walnut.
Oh, did you know that this film got into hot water because apparently during one of the scenes they bought corpses from a person and he was like a thief, actually? And then like the authorities came and they're like, "Where the fuck did you get these bodies?"
That's fucking hilarious.
And then they're like, okay, we'll use actors. Because apparently the dude they bought him from was like a grave robber or something. So yeah,
I'm in the wrong line of work, I guess.
This is the second time we've had a film with actual human bodies.
Wait, when was the first?
The fucking Unit 731 film we watched, whatever it was called.
Oh, right, right, right. The borderline snuff film.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was called, but something.
Man Behind the Sun.
Yeah, that's it.
Man, yeah, that was a fucked up movie.
Sure was. Did you know that they made like 3 sequels?
Really?
Yeah, like it keeps following like the main doctor dude up into like Korea. I meant to bring it up to you, but I figured we'd have to watch Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS first.
Oh, we gotta.
Can't wait to ask Miranda to do the fucking cover art for that film. But scale of 1 to 5 Playboy centerfolds, because they're fucking everywhere in this film.
Five out of 5.
All right. Jump on the bandwagon, I see, and I'll be the contrarian.
I'm the contrarian.
You're the what? I said I would be the contrarian.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that part. I thought you were just calling me a contrarian.
No.
All right, Mr. Fucking Critic. What's your rating then?
2 Playboy centerfolds, but the second one is like stuck together.
I thought you were describing Siamese twins for a second, but you're actually talking about the
magazine. No, the physical pieces of paper.
So is that a 2.5?
It's like a 1.75, because you can only see the person's head on the second one.
Honestly, I was expecting just 1 star from you, but yes.
No, like I said, I recognize the importance that this has in pop culture.
Anyway, so this film has a 91% on the Tomometer. And a 94% on the popcorn meter.
Was it white cheddar popcorn?
Hey, fuck you. White cheddar's good. It's just, you know, I can't eat too much of that stuff on my popcorn or else I throw up and it burns coming out. But
I'm more of a kettle corn guy myself.
Kettle corn's all right. Movie theater movie theater butter will always be my go-to.
I love movie theater popcorn, except it makes me poop my pants.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, the butter jacks up my insides. I pooped my bed last. I kid you not. I shit my bed last time we went to the movies.
Holy shit!
I woke up and I was like, "Why the fuck does it smell so bad here?" Oh god!
Oh my god! So yeah, that was very brave of you to share, and I appreciate it.
But I have lots of poop stories that I could share.
Okay, for solidarity's sake, I'll share the one of two times I've shit the bed as an adult, literally. One time I got really drunk at, what was that fucking cheap beer place in Varsity Pub? Was it Varsity?
Yeah, because they didn't have a liquor license. They could only sell beer.
And that was intentional because they wanted to keep that means they could keep beer even cheaper.
Shake a day.
Honestly, if I had to be a bartender anywhere in Vermilion, I would have picked that place, because you don't got to make fancy drinks. You don't got to pour liquor, just beer. That's it. And when 2 a.m. strikes, you can just tell everybody go to OLC for free shots to get them the fuck out of the bar. Or not free shots, but cheap shots. I heard from so many bartenders, like, dude, I'm so grateful for OLC for, like, offering the last call for shots. But I would never, ever work there because you got to stay even longer.
Yeah. I miss OLC.
What?
I miss OLC.
Me too, dude. And now that's owned by people from my hometown. Hmm. And I really do want to go back for D-Day one of these years, but I don't have anyone left in US at Vermilion. Like, I used to have a buddy that I could just crash at her place.
You know, that's kind of what being an alumni means, Jack.
No, like, I don't have, like, friends there, people still going to USD, you know? I did for a bit.
Yeah.
But not no more.
Maybe we, you, me, and Mitch can relive the Verm days sometime. The
glory days. We gotta suck it and fucking rent a hotel room, though.
That's fine.
You want to share a bed together?
You know it.
Just warning you, they called me squirrely in prison.
Just warning you, we might have to go to the movie theater before we go get drinks so I can poop the bed on you.
You know what? Mitch can stay with you. He's skinny. He's skinny. He doesn't take up much space.
But how are we going to conserve body heat if he ain't got no meat on them bones?
Well, shit, I'll get it from you.
You call me fat?
No. You're just heavier set than the rest of us.
Anyways, if you enjoyed this episode, leave a review. The stars matter. We have Instagram and YouTube and all those good things, so follow us there.
Mm-hmm. And now for next week's movie, Predator. I've been putting this off for weeks now, possibly even a month.
Yes, next movie is Predator.
Yay!
Get
Predator.
Predator!
Predator!
I might have to choose Major Pain after Predator. Who knows?
Man, shit.
Anyways, until next time, I've been John.
And I'm Jack.
And we'll catch you all later.
Bye.